the Electric Eels of Parramatta.
Oh, the dummy by Kenny. He's going to go up the corner. Look at Ferguson coming across the gutter. And it's Kenny with a flicking bounce. Scores a try in the corner. Sterling looking for a hat-trick. Can he get there? It's a hat-trick for Sterling.
The Eels have won it. Mr. Perpetual Motion and Mr. Nice Guy, Michael Cronin, are held aloft. The siren has sounded and Parramatta has taken out their third premiership in a row. The Eels of Parramatta still rule supreme over the rugby league scene here in Sydney.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Parramatta's podcast. We have a full lineup tonight. Everyone is on the field. Barry, myself, Bernie and Jono, all three of us are here to talk about the Manly game. I'll start with you, Jono, who's on a little bit of a delay tonight in his new location, mate. Now, Jono, we speculated last week that you were moving because of all the women who found out that you are the sexiest man for men in 2008. How much truth is there to that?
Yeah, there's an absolute truth. I'm actually hiding in a bunker in an undisclosed location right now, boys, hence the delay.
Well, hopefully you're better than the NRL bunker, Jono. It'd be fucking useless, to be honest with you. you're going to end up pregnant if the bunkers say anything keeping you from the women, mate. Yeah. So.
And Bernie, mate, how would you be?
Good, mate, good. No way in hell I was going to miss a podcast after a Manly flogging. So what a game it was, too. And geez, life's good when the Eels are winning, isn't it? Life's really, everything else, all the shit you cop at work and everything, it gives a fuck, like, you know, the Eels winning. So the guy who sits next to me at work is a Manly fan and not a word has been spoken about the game.
by him.
No, by either of us. Now, yeah, I don't know him well enough. I've only been there a few weeks and he knows I'm a Parramatta fan. So yeah, nothing has been said, so we'll see. Could be the end of the friendship already.
Do you think we are responsible for essentially ending their chances of being in the top eight?
No, I think the rainbow jersey did that for them. They brought it on themselves. Like, they were on the cusp of doing something good. They could have won that game, and that might have led into form against us. You never know. You never know what would have happened. So I think they've shot themselves in the foot. So fuck Manly.
Well, let's talk about the game. Obviously, it was quite windy, and that helped us in that first half, but it didn't seem to do much for Manly in the second. So there's something to be said there about the wind not playing a huge role because they just weren't able to capitalize on it like we were.
Yeah, well, you could argue that it switched around for the second half. Maybe it was a swirling breeze for the second half. Well, I did think that DCE would... I thought he was going to dominate a bit more in the second half. I really did think that we were going to have the sort of second half that we had against the Panthers and would just go a bit quiet, and that DC would start kicking his 40-20s and turn the screws a bit on us. So, but none of that happened. I don't know what happened. We just played the full 80, didn't we? Geez, it was a good game. And it has to be said, and I'm going to jump in early, Sean Lane, what is going on there? Mm. Like, we have been wrong this whole time.
No.
Like,
no.
Is BA...
No.
Is BA a fucking genius?
No, he's
and,
not.
And he's just gone, I want this guy to be an 80-minute beast, and I'm going to make him bleed until he is that 80-minute beast. I don't know what's going on. What a game. He didn't get tired at all. He played the full. I know it was his ex-club, you know, and you always fire up a bit for your ex-club. He used to play for Manly. So, I don't know. What do you think up there, Jono?
Mate, we've turned his weakness into his superpower, haven't we? And speaking of ex-club, how good of a game did Clint Gutherson have?
Yep.
You know, he's got friends and family on the Northern Beaches where he played his junior footy.
Yeah.
In the stands, probably wearing Manly jerseys, giving him all sorts of shit. And he goes out, he has the best game of the season. I mean, goal kicking aside, obviously, but on the field, he was absolutely on fire. Sean Lane and Gutho, it was remarkable to watch.
Yeah, so just to circle back, now, I can't give BA the moniker of genius because of all the other dumb bench decisions that he makes. where he brings a player on for 2 minutes. So there's just not a pattern there to support the theory that. So for me, I think he's tripped over the fact that he has left Lane on and he's turned him into an 80-minute player. There's just too many other dumb fuck decisions. So there's just nothing there to sort of substantiate that. As it turns out, this has benefited Lane in the long run. And because I can remember that, so I joined this sort of like CrossFit gym at the start of the year, and I had my Parramatta towel, and this woman went, "Oh, I'm a Parramatta fan. You know, my uncle used to play for Parramatta." And straight away she goes, "Oh, what do you think of Sean Lane?" And I messaged you that, Bernie, and you went, "The slug."
And the slug he is.
Now, this was him. It was like a week later, the trials were on, and he captained the team, and he had a blinder. Yeah. And so he's been playing really well all year. I mean, apart from obviously BA just running the legs off him, which wasn't necessary, but in the long run, it seems to have benefited him. So,
well, in the trials, he didn't play 80 minutes, and that has always been my argument. You bring him on for 20, let him know that he's only playing 20, and he'll give you 20 at 100%.
Mm.
And I was always of the opinion that he was leaving some in the tank, and I didn't blame him at all. It's like, if you got to play 80, you got to leave some in the tank, because otherwise the halves are going to tear you up at the last 15 minutes of the game. Now, back to the other point of my two biggest criticisms of BA. One was leaving Sean Lane on too long, and the other one was the bench rotation, as we said. Now, Cardi got a full 20 minutes, I think, against Manly, or 15, 20 minutes. But that was because of injury. And it was the only reason why. So he just dumb lucked his way. I think that BA has Stephen Bradbury'd his way to a super coach performance. He had his son in at halfback. He managed to trick everyone into booing him so that now everyone is forced to support his kid because everyone feels like shit. Like, who the hell was booing him? I was criticizing the fact that Dilbags got pushed out to center in order to make way for his son. That was our criticism. So he's not doing that anymore. Dilbags had a blinder, and Jake had a blinder as well. He had everyone supporting him. Now, if Manly were a smart bunch of well-orchestrated fans, they would have got together on their Facebook page and said, "Hey, when Jake Arthur comes out, let's boo him." And then everyone will think that it's the Parramatta fans. Like, and then Jake Arthur would have been going, "Oh, they're still booing me, Dad. They're still booing me."
He seems to take it in his stride, though, and use it as motivation. So that may have actually backfired on them.
Yeah. Well, I think it's been a brilliant move because everyone has jumped behind him, including us. It's become like that, you know, you can't say the J word anymore because everyone's going to call you a Jakist or whatever the hell it is. Like, you're like, you know, we weren't booing the kid. We were booing the dad. We were and we weren't booing him anyway. We're just criticizing.
But
he had a blinder. Jake, there's a few things, but Jesus Christ, I mean, what the good he did as opposed to a few, you know, kicks that went astray, etc. But you know, with Mitch coming back into the team, I'm quite happy with Jake being a backup. I just don't want Jake to be on the bench if Mitch is in the team, because he has no place being on the bench.
And I think the Bradbury is a good analogy. I think that none of this was intentional, but it just seems to have. He stumbled into some positives for the team. So those are good things. Now, I want to bring up an issue that Parramatta has, which is whether it's Mitchell Moses or Gutho, we've got a try-scoring machine down the left side, which means we're going to get 4 points, and we've got two kickers that can't kick from the left. Which means
you've never been on board with Mitch kicking.
I'm talking about from the left.
He's a gun kicker from the left. I'd love to go the stats. I really would, because he barely misses. And if he does miss, he always corrects and gets the second one. Whereas Gutho corrected too much and he sprayed it one to the left, one to the right. But Mitch, I swear it's just you getting drunker as the game goes on, Barry, because I think you watch, you miss the first one, and then you sit there with your beer the whole night going, "Fuck, he can't kick for shit."
Now, I resemble that remark. How dare you? maybe there's some truth to that. But I swear, because let's be honest, maybe, hang on, you know what happens? Maybe he kicks like 7 in the last 10 minutes, because I can never remember the last 10 minutes of the game. So if it happens in the last 10 minutes, you got a point.
He does tend to miss his first kick, and it always seems to be from the left with the Sivo. The Sivo, more often than not, is the first try scorer. I just think that Mitch, his percentage is quite high. He's actually kicking quite well. I don't think he kicks well under pressure. Like, he's not good at kicking to win us the game. That being said, he did do that a few months ago to win us the game. I can't remember which game that was, but
against Manly from the sideline. Was it Manly? Was it? Well, yes, it was.
Yep. So there you go. That's. I think Mitch is. I think the question we need to ask at the moment is, what do we do with Bailey Simonson? Because Bailey and Wonga don't seem to play well together. But Wonga on the wing with Tom Opacek in centres seems to be a good combination. They seem to play well together.
I didn't think I would see Tom Opacek back in this squad.
I thought he was going to Super League. I thought he would take it off.
Yeah.
But for the last, 3 weeks, he's had this blinding combination with Wonga Blake. And lo and behold, Bernie, Wonga Blake's a winger, mate.
Wonga's a winger. Oh, who would have thought? I'll tell you who would have fucking thought. Me, at the start of the year, I said, stick Wonga on the wing. He doesn't want to pass. He's got blinding speed, and you know he can finish. And 150th game, all credit to Wonga, that finish that he did in the corner. My God, there was only a few blades of grass literally in it. Like what a try! And Tom Opacek, geez, he's safe. He's safe as banks. Like he just does his job. He really. Like, and whenever Tom scores a try, it's like no one really goes over and celebrates with him. He's kind of does a goofy smile to himself and then runs back into position. And coming back to last year when Tom Opacek's brother got killed and Tom was up there playing like a couple of days later, he's obviously got, you know, incredible intestinal fortitude. Like he's just, I think he's mentally strong, you know, and I think that's a good player to have inside of Wonga Blake. So what do you do with Bailey? I mean, does Bailey go to the bench or does Bailey miss out?
He's been so solid all year. You want to reward that. But at the same time, we're at the point where winning really matters now. Yep. We're coming into the finals and we're not a team that we've won 2 in a row. So that means we're ready to lose against the Bunnies this week. So we need to be in that top 4 if we're going to be consistent with our win 2, lose 1, win 1, lose 1 sort of approach. So we need to be in that top 4 so we get a second shot at things. So as much as I've loved Bailey, I've been a fan of his from the start.
Same.
If the pairing works right now, then honestly, you've got to keep it. However, this is Parramatta and he's one of the many players who's been mentioned about leaving the team. And so this conversation will be moot because by the end of next week, he'll probably be in Super League. You know, like he'll be gone. So,
yeah. I just think that against the Bunnies, like they're a bit of a bogey side for us and they do tend to attack us down that right edge and they seem to get a lot of points down there. So I'm really curious to see how they handle that attack. We've got Latrell coming at us. Latrell was a beast last week. He's on fire. And Cody always plays well with Latrell in the team. So, and they've got the wood on us. So I'm curious to see how they handle. The other thing I noticed against Manly is we were doing a sliding defense. The boys were really sliding. Traditionally, we don't do that much. So it was interesting to see they were sliding a little bit slow for my liking. But I'm curious to see how we go against the Bunnies. I don't want to put a line through Bailey at the moment because I think, like, Bailey is... He's a great player. He's got a lot of heart, and I think he's going to be a good player for us. But it's all about combinations this time of year.
That's right.
Give me a solid combination. Two guys who work well together. Mm. You look at Wonga and Blake Ferguson did not work well together, you know, and they cost us so many points. Individually, brilliant players. They just don't play well together. So I think that Tom Opacek and Wonga really combine well together. So that's that side. And then you got Sivo and Penasini on the other. And, you know, Sivo's still got defensive flaws and So is Benassini. Like, he's just young. He's still learning the game, to be fair. He's only 19. It looks like Makamaka has lost his spot in the side. He's been dropped. And who's replacing him? Odgerson or something?
Odgerson. Another big lad, you know, yeah. And I'm surprised this late in the year that we're blooding someone fresh, but, you know, Brad Arthur's obviously got, you know, his reservations against Makahesi Makatoa, maybe not making as much of an impact as he thought. And I guess you could say the same for Oregon Kafusi as well, because the difference in this team when Junior and Reg are on the bench compared to when they're out on the field, it's two different teams. It's massive. It's massive. It's more than any other club, any other forward rotation at any other club. You know, there's some difference, but at Parramatta, it's absolutely obvious and massive. So I don't know. I mean, it's a real tentative time of the year to get a young up and coming rookie prop out there, but
well, he won't be out there. Hope... I mean, he's going to sit on the bench for the whole game.
I was literally about to say, for his hope, I hope it's more than 5 minutes, but it probably won't be.
What is the point of putting the kid through this if he's not going to give him any time? And you know, it's up against South. South's are traditionally a big pack, so. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to know if BA's gone, okay, big pack, here you go, get some young blood, you know, fire it up. I want him to get some time. Why not Warren McGregor? I don't know. I mean, is he injured? Is he just on the... These things still, you know, scratching. I'm still scratching my head with a couple of BA decisions. But there's one more thing I want to bring up, which is annoying me, and that is Ryan Madison. Now, we've just re-signed him for a four-year deal, I think. It is three or 4 years. Multi-million dollar deal. He's so prone to getting head injuries. And why the hell isn't he wearing headgear? Like he gets a knock and his concussion kicks in. I'm not saying it's put on. It's legit. He's had some massive knocks. Why the hell isn't he forced? If we're paying him so much money, he should be forced to wear headgear so that he's not getting these concussions and he's not sitting on the bench. He could be gone for the year because he has a tendency to get a concussion and sit out for months. So
he does.
You know, we need him on the field. Do we not have the ability to enforce people to wear headgear? He needs enforcement.
Well, Reid Marnie started wearing headgear after his first season, you know. And to your point, we've moved Ryan off the edge into the middle. Now he's playing lock. He's not playing second row anymore. He's actually come infield more, which makes him more susceptible to head knocks. Although... has he had many bad ones this year?
He's had a couple of small ones. They haven't been big ones, where he's missed a couple of weeks. I think it was last year, wasn't it, that Kafusi gave him the big elbow to the back of the head,
or yes,
back of the head to the ground. And that was a massive, massive impact. And he had massive impact at the Tigers. He had a couple of really bad concussions where he couldn't look at light. Like he, for months, he couldn't leave
weeks,
the house. So, and we've re-signed him to a multi-million dollar deal, which I'm fine with. He's a great player, but we need him on the field coming up to this end of the year and force headgear. I mean, I think Reid Marnie doesn't care because he's an ugly little spud head, whereas Ryan's got the good boy looks. So I think he wants to be on display a bit, but I would be enforcing that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it's a bit of a difficult one. It depends on what Ryan wants. I mean, the problem is, like, we haven't lost him this year for an extended period of time, so maybe it's improving. I don't know, but, I mean, I wouldn't want to risk it. The same as, you know, we watched Tepoi Moroa go through it a few years back. You know, it's a very similar thing. Yeah. You know, it almost forced him into retirement, so I understand wanting to bubble wrap the egg, as it were, you know, to get it home safely, but... you know, I think so far so good. He hasn't had too many major ones this year. But it would be something maybe the NRL as an organization could enforce. You know, if you have three major concussions a year, maybe they force you to wear headgear for a season. I don't know. I mean, they probably won't, but...
I think you brought up a good point with Tepoi Moroa. I mean, he's obviously got severe brain damage to come back and play for the Storm. I mean, there must be something seriously wrong with the boy. I mean, he cut his, he cut his long hair and started playing for the Storm. So, poor boy.
And he turned down rugby union money to go to the Storm. Like,
yeah. Well, wasn't he a shot putter? He was an Olympic shot putter. Like, I think he would have been better off pursuing that career rather than ending up at the Storm bench. I mean, oh my goodness, poor kid.
Yeah, I think you statistically caught less head knocks in shot put unless someone throws one at your head, I guess. But
yeah, even then, I think you could wear one shot put to the head and still come off with less brain damage than wanting to go and play for the Storm.
Absolutely.
I don't think those shot putters pull the chicks though. Like,
it's not really the sport, is it?
The Parramatta's podcast. They're about as useful as BA's bench rotation.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of the week for BA Bingo. All right, every week we try and determine, there's 9-point criteria which Jono looks after, and we try and figure out how many points did BA get for his random head-scratching decisions. Now, he tends, you know, he obviously has only 1 or 2 points when we have a good win, really. So we had a good win against Manly. So what's the verdict this week, Jono?
This week, boys, he got 1 out of 9 in BA Bingo, did Brad Arthur. And up to interpretation as to whether it's a strength or a weakness is leaving Sean Lane on too long.
Mm-hmm. Now a strength, isn't it? So Let's change BA Bingo to BA's master plan
and
BA the super coach.
Yeah. And I swear, dude, I'm going to cut up these little audio grabs that you do, Bernie. And next week, after we got pumped by the bunnies, I'll be like, "What was that you were saying?"
Yeah, you know that I flip flop all over the fucking place. I'm prepared to admit that, but
not me, mate. I'm a massive fan of Moses kicking. And if anybody says anything different, you're full of shit.
I've never said a bad word about Jake Arthur. How dare you?
Well, no one has on this show. We've never had a problem with Jake Arthur. So, yeah.
I've never. And, you know, I feel the need to keep saying it. The problem we had was that he pushed Dillbags now into the centres. Now, Dillbags, it's just been having an absolute blinder. Scoring tries, defending tries. I thought the way he got back to defend the in goal, he was the only one there and he just knocked the ball dead. And it just looks like a simple thing, but he had to motor to get there. And he absolutely motored to save that try for us. And geez, he's a character too, him sniffing whatever the sniffing salts are before he's running onto the field.
It's like,
he's good, babe, but why do we have such a team of Muppets? Like, I love them, but geez, they're a motley crew of bloody Muppets. Like,
they're
you know,
weirdos, aren't they? Yeah.
They're all goofy. They've all got, you know, like, we don't have any. We said this about last week in last week's podcast, Jono, if you want to listen to
it. Yeah, you should catch it. Episode 31, mate. Check it out.
We mentioned that we need one player who's got a little bit of mongrel and just goes in there seriously. Now, Ray Stone was that player. I think he would come on and just have. There was no smiling. Ray Stone wouldn't tackle someone and then, you know, say, sorry, mate. Like, he was trying to kill everyone. And I think that we need that one mongrel player, whoever it
be. That one mongrel player is still on our roster. His name's Nathan Brown, but for whatever reason, BA doesn't like him anymore. So
I agree, but he did start to lose a bit of the mongrel. Like, and I think that's why, you know, we started to search for, you know, Clemmer was sniffing around and Marty and
Curtis.
Matthew Lodge.
Curtis.
Yeah. We were trying to get a mongrel player. And once again, that's a master plan. BA could be the master coach. 2022 in BA we trust.
King of wishful thinking.
I reckon BA's is get it all sorted. And now when it comes up to the finals, his bench rotation is going to be on point. There's going to be no more 2-minute bench plays. There's going to be no one sitting out a whole game. He's just trying to get everyone as fit as Sean Lane. I never thought I'd be saying those words. But if he can get everyone as fit as Sean Lane, then look out.
I'd just like to point out that in traditional Kung Fu, they do this really deep, wide stance called a horse stance. You might be familiar with it, where it's like this massive sort of squat where their legs are really far apart and they lower themselves.
A horse squat?
A horse stance, it's called.
Oh.
Right.
So you're saying a horse stance. With big legs.
Horse. For some reason, I'm not sure why, because horses' legs are actually quite close together. But anyway.
Yeah, but whores aren't.
Yeah, it's true. So I just want you to picture that is the stance that Bernie is taking at present. Yeah. For the giant fucking kick in the dick, which is coming, you know.
It's not coming this year. In the finals.
Dude, you're just building up your hopes again. You're going to get fucking kicked in the dick.
Hey,
come on.
Hey, I'll tell you, I'm putting a disclaimer on it. If he has Jake Arthur on the bench, he's got no fucking idea, because that's what's scaring me still. To win the finals, you've got to have big forwards, or you've got to have a Cartwright on there who can play any position. He can cover so many positions. I'm glad to see that Cardi's still on the bench. He's still sniffing around there. He got 20 minutes, and he didn't try to do anything too spectacular, Cardi. I think he was just solid enough. And I like that he's on the bench again this week. I like that he's blooding a new player. He's basically saying to Maka Maka, if you want to be in the team, I want some fire. He's looking for someone to fire up. He's looking for the boys to get a bit of spark. And that's how you do it. We've been always saying, like, you know, if someone's not performing, you've got to be prepared to drop them. Mm. And that's what he's done. So, you know, Bailey looks like he's going to miss out. And Nathan Brown looks like he's going to miss out. And, you know, so I don't know. Maka Maka might be missing out. But I doubt very much we're going to go into the finals with this new kid set, but we'll see. The BA's the master coach. We'll just leave it in his hands, boys.
Strap in, fellas. It's going to be a wild ride.
What could possibly go wrong, boys?
Oh, dear. Let's move into the final stage of the show where we talk about the Bunnies match. So, Jono, what's your prediction?
I think we continue this role and we win a close one. Yeah. I think we're gonna get them 26-22. I think Gutho's going to stand up again. I think Dylan Brown is going to stand up. And I think Jakey Arthur's going to continue on his way. I think he's got a lot of confidence now. I guess we'll keep an ear out for how many boos come out this week from the Combank faithful.
He's going to get a massive cheer when he runs on. It wasn't when he ran on. I think it was when they showed his picture, even like people were booing him. So he's going to get a massive overreaction of people overcompensating to make up for the shitheads who were booing him. So I think Jakey's going to have another solid game. And I reckon we're going to get on top of them early and motor. So if they get in front of us, we'll lose. We've got to lead this game, I think, from start to finish. And Latrell, once you put a bit of pressure on old Tubbsy Latrell, I think he goes missing. And when Latrell goes missing, so does Cody. So that's what I predict is going to happen. BA Super Coach is going to have a plan to keep Latrell very quiet this game. So we'll just wait for the comments from the Super Coach to see what he's got installed to keep Latrell quiet. And so I'm expecting a good win on Friday night. Boys, I'll go 30 points to 10.
Wow, okay.
To the Eels, of course.
I think we're at that phase where we just get everyone's hopes up. So I think we've got this one. I really do. So I think, yeah, we win this one. We beat the Doggies. We even beat the Broncos. And we just go into the finals. And that's when the gigantic, you know, 10-meter run-up kick to the dick happens. So,
yeah, I don't even mind. I think we're going to absolutely flog the Bulldogs. We might possibly lose to the Broncos. They're playing pretty well. And we might even lose the first game in the finals. And it might actually benefit us, because I don't think we're the sort of team to have a week off and benefit from it. You know, we kind of need a run all the way through. And coming to that time of the year, boys, starting to get my hopes up, as I do every year. And I'll make sure that the fridge is fully loaded with beer, so to numb the pain
Well, unfortunately, the one flaw in your master plan there, mate, if we're outside the top four and we lose that first game of the finals, there ain't no second game of the finals, friend.
No.
We've got to be in the top four for that second bite of the cherry.
Yeah, but we don't have to win all the games, remaining games, to get in the top four. So as long as we beat the Rabbits and the Bulldogs, I think we're in the top four, aren't we? Could be wrong.
Well, we're sitting in fifth right now. And if Melbourne continues their downward trajectory, then we may just hop above them.
And a couple of the big teams need to play each other, so we'll see.
We could be playing Melbourne in the last round for a top four spot.
Ooh, that would be tasty.
Mm. Mm. With Mitch Moses possibly returning that week. Mm. So we'll see.
So even if we are outside the top four, I don't mind, because then we just got to win all of our games.
Yeah, we
just can't lose any games, but I'm all good wherever we go from here, as long as it's to the top. Well, wherever we go, as long as it's win. I'm fine with it. But we've been here, how many years we followed this team, and it's been how much heartbreak. But let's strap ourselves in, boys, because we have a team that has the potential to win this year, and that's all you ever really want. Whether or not Steve B.A. Bradbury can get us home or not, we'll find out, but we're in a good position. I'm excited going into the end of the season.
Yep, absolutely. Agreed. So don't forget, people, that you can join up our new Facebook group. It's open to the public. It is The Parramattas. In fact, I got a message this week, I'm not sure if you two did as well, from a Mad Eels fan in Fiji called T Square. And I got this random...
Is that his rapper name, or is that his real name?
I'm assuming it's not his real name, but, I just thought, who's this jabroni? And I went to and checked on his page, and it's all just eels, 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 eels. His entire page, every post is about the eels.
And I was like,
oh, okay, I'll get a mate. Oh, go the eels, go Parrot. This guy's like a mad fan. So shout out to T-Square. So our first international listener.
Are you sure that it's not just T Dog just messing with you? Is it T Square?
T Dog is my co-host on the other podcast I do, which is the Dummy M, and he is a mad Broncos fan. And there's no way you'd catch him pretending to be an Eels fan.
Not even to mess with you, maybe.
But we'll end the show there, and as we always say here, click go the Eels.
Click go the Eels, baby.
Click on the Eels.
The Parramattas Podcast. Find us on Facebook.